Accession number 14053, reel 4.
We had another, not an incident, but something that happened. We had a .5 Browning machine gun. It's not an infantry weapon. Why it was there, I don't know. Whether it was to add a little bit of firepower or the anti-aircraft, I don't know. But we decided one day that we were going to fire it. This was all the sergeants there and the sergeant major. And the sergeant that happened was the sergeant major. So we duly volunteered him for it. And got him strapped into this. It's quite a big sort of cannon thing we had. And he fired it there. And I think after about 8 or 10 rounds, it managed to stop. And we never got it to fire again. But he certainly hit what he was firing at. In spite of all this incidents and so on, every Sunday we used to go fishing opposite the Indonesian camp. And we used to get one of our patrol boats. It was the typical sort of assault craft, stick an outboard engine in, loaded up with beer and what have you, and off down to the end of our river. It was about an hour going fairly fast. And when we got to the edge of the river, you could look across, I suppose it must have been about 3 or 4 miles away, and with binoculars you could pick out the Indonesian camp and people moving around. And we spent many a Sunday fishing opposite, say, the Indonesian camp. Right next to us, though, was one of the guard, the picket boats, a little corvette. Either the Australian Navy ran it or we did. Helicopters were a bit hairy in those days. Every morning we used to get the mail supply, and it was from a French Alouette helicopter, very fast in those days. Always piloted by a Chinese pilot. We always knew when he was coming because he managed to beat up the camp every morning there. And I remember one day I had to go down to headquarters and I was going to go with him. And I took off and we'd been flying about 15 minutes and I saw this enormous black cloud up in the sky and I thought, no, we're not going to go into this. And they sort of apprehensive, and I saw him looking as well, and I was rather glad when he turned to me and said, no, he said, we're not going to land there first. He said, we'll go straight to headquarters. He said, I can get in there. He said, but with that storm up there, because the helicopter was beginning to rock in those times, we'll go straight to our other headquarters. We had a hairy experience, we thought it could be, that we were having one of our regimental days, I think, at a place called Kalabakan, which was the headquarters there, and the way to get to it from our place was by our assault boat. It was going to be at least a 2.5-3 hour trip, so we duly rigged it up. I've got some photographs somewhere of us, and we all went round, got to Kalabakan all right. The next morning, the RSM came round quite early, waking us all up and saying 20 Indonesians have crossed the border. You lot better get back to your camp as soon as possible. So you can imagine, half the sergeant's mess of our company in this little assault boat, hurtling back riverways, not knowing if we were going to meet these 20 Indonesian bandits or whatever they were. But they were eventually apprehended by the company and captured, and that incident finished. But it was right at the end of the Borneo campaign, if you like.